And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Friends, this is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Hey, you're going to have a great program today. This is Secrets. Jerry, I can't even remember what volume it is. We just keep 178, I think so. Okay, we'll accept 178, but volume of Secrets. And we've got a lot of things to talk about today. The United States oil reserves are growing. Seems like finally people are recognizing what Tex Mars said in my CD report, Planet Petroleum. We'll talk about that and what it may mean for the United States. A lot of people wonder if Jews are truly patriotic Americans. Well, no doubt there are a few, but maybe the stereotype may be correct. We'll ask that question. Also, I've got a lot of things here. The Pope of Rome has shut down what the Vatican calls an irregular monastery in Rome itself. Seems that some monks, sort of a playboy lifestyle, had opened up a monastery, and, well, things were going on there. You've heard of the flying nun. Well, evidently they had a dancing nun who had previously been a stripper, and, well, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Oh, we got a lot of things to talk about. But first of all, I want to introduce you to an old friend of mine. It's been many years and a few gray hairs, as he and I both know, since we met personally. But he's a man of great distinction. He's written many books exposing, well, satanic things, for one thing. Oh, my goodness. He's done great work. He's a former Freemason, and he's exposed Freemasonry in books. Has one of the best, I think, really descriptions and understandings of the Masonic Lodge, and I want to encourage you to get his book. I'll be telling you how to get his book on Freemasonry. His name is Bill Schnebelen. You spell that last name S-C-H-N-O-E-B-E-L-E-N, Bill Schnebelen. We're going to give you his website in just a moment. But he's also been exposing for many years. He's one of the premier people talking about the Latter-day Saints Church, the Church of, supposedly, of Jesus Christ, of LDS, or as we just call it, Mormonism, or the Mormons. And recently he's done a great job with a video entitled Mormonism's Temple of Doom. Mormonism's Temple of Doom. And I have a video here in front of me that Bill Schnebelen has done. It's over 2 hours in length, and I think you might want to get a copy of it, because the Mormons seem to always be in the news. Of course, they own many hotel chains, many corporations, one of the richest religious groups in the entire world, perhaps one of the fastest growing religions in the world. And I'm going to ask Bill in just a moment, are they really a Christian religion? Because they claim to have a sort of another Bible or another New Testament. And we'll ask about that. But right now I'm also concerned about, and I know you will be too, about the 2012 elections for president and vice president coming up. And it seems that, well, the Mormons may have quite a role to play. The person leading the polls in the Republican sweepstakes is Mitt Romney of Massachusetts. And if he becomes president, he'll be, as far as I know, the first Mormon president ever. What impact will that have in office? I think Bill Schnebelen has some insights on that we want to look at, if it ends up that we have a President Mitt Romney. Of course, we have Glenn Beck, who seems to be drawing quite a following among the Tea Party people and so forth. He also is a Mormon, and I'm going to ask Bill, I hope he's got an opinion on this. He's one of the most knowledgeable folks that you could ever meet on these subjects. I'll ask him if he has an opinion on Glenn Beck as well. I met Bill Schnebelen, by the way, in Seattle, Washington, some years ago. I went there to be on, I think it was King TV. We were talking about witchcraft on TV there. We were started debating witches and such, and Bill was kind enough to be in the program and hopefully praying for Tex Mars a little bit so I didn't look too foolish as we were telling the truth there on television. But Bill is now living in Dubuque, Iowa, right there in the middle of the nation. And he's got a great website, withoneaccord.org, where he offers all of his books. And I highly recommend you visit that website, withoneaccord.org. Bill Schneblin, welcome to Power Prophecy.
Well, thank you, Tex. It's great to be here.
Great to, you know, just hear your voice again.
Yeah.
And know that we're still friends and appreciate some of the things that you've done over the years I sort of kept up with. Now, Mormonism, you were once a Mormon. Why did you leave?
Well, I encountered the real Jesus. That's the big reason why I left.
Okay.
The Mormon, basically, God used the Mormon church to show me that I was a sinner. I needed salvation, and the mechanisms within the Mormon church weren't providing that. The more I read the Bible, because they use the King James Bible, of course, partly, and I just, for the first time in my life, even though I had a theology degree from a Catholic seminary, I'd never read the Bible. And so I actually read the Bible as a Mormon, and basically I tell people the Bible is the best anti-Mormon literature ever.
Well, good for you.
So the more you read the Bible, the more you'll discover that the LDS Church is a fake. I mean, it just does not deliver what it claims to really on any level. So that's how I more or less got out of it. And, of course, I renounced it. And in 1986, in fact, I was asked by Ed Decker to go and speak at a big conference in Salt Lake City on Mormonism's Temple of Doom. And the talk was a sensation. That's kind of what put me on the map. You know, way back, that was... Well, geez, 25 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the problem with the Mormon church is that it looks so good, and of course it's so wealthy. You know, it is, like you said, I think per capita it's the wealthiest church in the world. Because, of course, it's a fraction of the size of the Vatican, and of course it doesn't have as much money as the Vatican, because the Vatican's had, you know, 2,000 years to build up its pile of gold. But the Mormons are doing awfully good, considering that they've only been around for, you know, not even two centuries. And of course, the problem is that they look real good. I mean, they're nice people. They're sweet people. And, of course, they're conservatives. They're pro-life. They're pro-family, pro-chastity. It all looks really excellent. And so when you talk about somebody like Mitt Romney or Glenn Beck, a lot of conservative, Republican, you know, type Christians, they think, well, gee, these are good people. You know, we should hang out with these people and vote for them and whatever. But there is a snake in the Garden of Eden here on this thing. And that's, I guess, what we kind of like to talk about.
Yeah, I really would. That snake, as you mentioned it, what are the distinctions? Like, let's say if I were to ask you, give me a couple, two or three reasons why you believe. And by the way, I totally agree with everything that you've written and what you're doing this, Bill. So, and I just thank you for having the courage to do it. But I would like to ask you, for our audience sake, what are, let's say, two or three major reasons why you believe the Mormon church is not a truly Christian church?
Well, mainly, they don't believe that Jesus is Almighty God. They believe he's a God. They believe he's a son of God. But they will never call him Lord. And, of course, you know, we're told in the New Testament that, you know, you can't call Jesus Christ the Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. So these people have a different Jesus. And they teach, for example, that what he did on Calvary did not save us. Rather, that the fact that he shed drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane was what saved us.
Mm.
And yet, paradoxically, one of their early apostles, and this is going to really curl the hair of your listeners, I'm sure, Orson Pratt taught that the blood of Jesus Christ had no more spiritual power than the blood of a dead dog.
Mm.
Now, obviously, if you tell that to any Christian, they're going to probably, you know, rend their garments or something. So, you know, that's a big thing, is that Jesus is not God. His blood sacrifice is not fully efficacious for our sins. The other problem, of course, is that they say that we are saved by grace through faith after all that we can do. So theirs is a religion of works. They don't believe that they're saved by grace. You'll never hear Mormons sing Amazing Grace in their churches, ever.
Hmm.
You know, they believe you have to keep all, they have 4,000 some commandments you have to keep. And, you know, I mean, the Torah had 613 commandments. Well, they've like quadrupled that.
They just add it on.
Yeah, and so there's all these other things that you have to do. You have to go to the temple. You have to be married for time and all eternity. You have to wear magic underwear. And I mean, I don't have time to go into all of this, but the point is they've piled a whole lot of stuff onto the simplicity of Paul's gospel and the gospel of Christ. You know, that you're saved by trusting in the finished work of Calvary. And see, that's why, for example, you'll never see a cross on a Mormon meeting house or a Mormon temple.
Wow, but you do see sun god signs, moon god, the pentagram star, and things like that.
Oh, yes. In fact, this new DVD we have, Mormonism's Temple of Doom, I actually made the trip to Salt Lake City. First time I've been there in 20 years. And I went and I took pictures of all of these features of the Salt Lake Temple. They're there for anybody who wants to see. You know, all you got to do is go to Temple Square. I'd recommend you pray first and put on your armor, so to speak.
Oh, yes.
But I mean, it's, you know, they have all these Masonic symbols and satanic symbols. Like, there's dozens of inverted pentagrams all over the temple. And I'm sure many of your listeners know, because I know you've put out books on this stuff, that the inverted pentagram is a symbol of Satan and Satanism. You know, it's on the cover of the Satanic Bible, for heaven's sake.
Oh, yeah.
So these are all problems. And a larger problem, I mean, this is all theology, okay, which is important in the spiritual world. But our other problem is that the Mormons believe they have an eschatological role to play in America. They believe that it is their destiny to save the Constitution, and that that one of their members, a high priest in their church, which Mitt Romney, by the way, is a high priest. Many of your listeners may not know he's actually the son of a Mormon leader who was governor of Michigan, I believe, George Romney, and he's also the nephew of one of the highest level Mormons at the time. He's now deceased. I forget his name, but it's Romney, another Romney. So, who was like right up next to the prophet. So this guy is highly connected, Mitt Romney. He's not just a financier and a politician and a former governor. He's a high priest in the Mormon church. And he has been to the temple. He has taken oaths in the temple that he will put his allegiance to the prophet and the Mormon church's interests above anything else.
When you say prophet, you mean the sort of the pope almost of,
well, yeah,
of Mormonism,
right,
the man that they have appointed as
head of the Mormon church, who now I think is Monson. I don't really keep track of it, but they have 12 apostles and then a council of three, the prophet and two counselors. And he is the head of the church, very much like the pope would be in the Catholic Church. And he's a supreme authority. You know, he can overrule a Bible. He can overrule anything. And in fact, the Mormon church has a saying. They say, when the leaders have spoken, the thinking has been done. You don't have to think if you're a Mormon. And some of their teachings, you start wondering, obviously nobody is thinking, because some of this stuff is kind of goofy. But that's another time, another place. Anyway, so they think that at some point the Constitution of the United States will hang by a thread, and then a high priest of their faith will come in and save America and create a benevolent dictatorship called the United Order, which is a communistic, I mean that not in the atheistic sense, but in the sense of communitarian, where everybody owns everything in common, you know, kind of like an Israeli kibbutz. And with him, this prophet, this leader, ruling America as a dictator. That's what they believe. And so literally, for over 100 years, they have been trying to get a Mormon high priest in the White House. And right now, they're closer than they've ever been. Because many of your listeners may not know this, but Joseph Smith, the guy that founded the Mormon Church, was actually running for president of the United States back in 1844 when he was shot and killed in Carthage Jail in Carthage, Illinois.
Now, let's go to Mitt Romney just a minute. Here's the thing that sort of puzzles me. But, you know, the Catholic Church has the power to excommunicate. Mm-hmm. But there are priests out there running around who are pro-abortion. Certainly there's homosexuals everywhere in the Catholic Church. Mitt Romney, you know, once said in Massachusetts, as far as the gay movement was concerned, he supported gay marriage, and he said, "Vote for me," he told the gays, "and I will, quote-unquote, out Kennedy, Ted Kennedy." in terms of the gay movement. How can a man like that, why isn't he excommunicated from the Mormon Church, which claims to have such a lily white image?
Well, I think part of it is they would say, and I mean, see, this is, you got to realize they're very Jesuitical, they're very Pharisaical. Mm. They will say it's okay to think like that as long as you yourself are not a homosexual. I mean, if he was a homosexual and it came out, you know, he would be out of the church like that.
But, I see.
But just because he is pro, just like, for example, and many religions may not know this, but Las Vegas is predominantly Mormon. They have a temple there and everything. And Mormons are allowed to work in the casinos and are allowed to work in these big resort hotels and whatnot as long as they aren't like dealers or croupiers or whatever you call them that are actually doing the gambling. And, of course, they can't be bartenders.
So it's hypocritical, but because these people are powerful, have money, et cetera, just as Ted Kennedy was, you know, a big pal of all the archbishops and cardinals with his immorality, they sort of let things slide then when you're a Mitt Romney.
Yeah, like most Catholics, if they were divorced like he was, they'd never be allowed to receive communion again.
Mm, that's
because
true.
Because Ted Kennedy, you know, he got to still receive the sacrament.
Do you really believe that Mitt Romney, if he's elected president, would promote the Mormon agenda? Would he do it covertly?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying this is what they believe. Now, I don't know. I mean, I obviously don't know what's in Mitt Romney's heart. I don't know if he would actually do that. I'm just saying that it's part of their eschatology, and it's something which he has sworn to uphold.
Mm, that's true.
You know, in the temple, they make four covenants in the temple. These are secret things. This isn't like in a regular church such as you and I might attend on Sunday. It's a secret temple, kind of like a Masonic lodge, where only an elite handful of Mormons are allowed to go. And in that temple, he made four solemn covenants, and one of those covenants was that he would obey the prophet and not ever do anything contrary to what the prophet told him to do. And, of course, someone with his level of prominence would probably go and actually receive personal orders from the prophet, just like Orrin Hatch, who many of you know is the Mormon senator from Utah, who's very prominent in the Republican Party. I mean, he has many meetings with the Mormon leadership.
Because he
reflects their teaching.
He's also another one of these hypocrite faux conservatives as well, it seems. Now,
well, sure, yeah.
Let's talk about Glenn Beck just a moment.
Sure.
I suspect, and I'd like your opinion on this, that he has gained such public acclaim. You know, Larry King married this Mormon woman. The next thing you know, Larry King's on CNN. Big poobah there. And the next thing you know, Glenn Beck is on CNN. And let it be known that he's a Mormon. Of course, now he's got an even bigger position at Fox News. And finally is going to end up with his own network, I understand. He's leaving Fox.
Now, Glenn Beck
really has a following. But he says he's really aiming to be a spiritual leader. Mm-hmm. Of America.
He wants to have a meeting over in Jerusalem.
Ah.
He had that big gathering last August, I think it was, in Washington, D.C. that had huge hundreds of thousands of people. He wants to do something like that in Israel now.
Isn't that interesting?
I think he's got messianic, or whatever you want to call him, pretensions. And the trouble, like I wrote an article about him about 9 months ago, I called it America's Cuddliest Christian, with Christian being in quotes. And I said that he believes he can become a god. That's the third thing about the Mormon Church that's a real problem if you're a Bible-believing Christian, is every Mormon, if they understand, and he says he studied it very thoroughly before he joined the church, because
mm-hmm.
he used to be supposedly an alcoholic and went through AA and all that kind of stuff, and then he met this woman who was a Mormon, and she talked him into joining the church. And now, of course, he's totally sold on it. But Mormons believe they can become a god. They think that someday, if they're true and faithful to all the covenants they make in the temple, and they get married and have children, and of course he's done all of that, I assume, I know he's got a family, they will someday become a god and have their own planet, their own solar system that they will reign over, just like Heavenly Father, quote-unquote, reigns over our planet. Now, you tell that to any Christian, and they're going to think you're a nutcase.
Yeah.
Of course, Glenn Beck never mentions that. And the problem I have with all this is, you know, I used to watch his show faithfully. I've kind of gotten disgusted with it lately, but I was just keeping an eye on him. And he'd have people like David Barton and like Jerry Falwell Jr., I think it was, you know, the guy who's now the head of Liberty University, which is actually my alma mater, you know, and they're on there schmoozing with Glenn Beck, making it sound like, oh, we're all one big happy family of believers in Jesus. And the damage that does is just incalculable to the cause of Christ, because it would be like, you know, sitting down and schmoozing with Osama bin Laden, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Beck's theology is as far off in one direction as Islam is in another direction.
He's also, honestly, he has a new book out. He's co-authored with somebody. And it, you know, it's right up the New Age party line.
He
really basically says, you know, whatever God or goddess you believe in, as long as you're sincere, you know, that's just fine and dandy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed in the Mormon faith, and this may be what affects somebody like Glenn Beck, there's a great connection with Judaism, but when I say Judaism, I'm talking about the Kabbalah of the Jews, you know, the sex cult type of aspects of the Kabbalah and the Judaic religion. Maybe, is there a close ties with Judaism? Many Jews, of course, are Freemasons, and there's another connection, isn't there?
Well, yeah, and of course, you know, Joseph Smith, who was the founder of the Mormon Church, studied magic, he studied the occult. This has been documented by, you know, Mormon scholars at BYU. He studied the Kabbalah. He studied all this stuff. And in fact, in the original book, my first book I wrote, Mormonism's Temple of Doom, it was a little book, now been, oh, I don't know how many years it has been out, I actually document how the Kabbalistic Tree of Life fits in with the Mormon.
Oh, I remember you did.
The Mormon Temple.
You had some great illustrations and pictures in that book.
Yeah, and so it does all hang together. But the other thing you have to realize is that if you go to Salt Lake City, and I've been there many times, there's all these New Age bookstores. Mormons don't have a lot of trouble going in the New Age bookstores because their beliefs are so similar. I mean, they obviously don't like all the Hindu-y stuff and the gurus and all that, but you know, a lot of this idea, like, you can become a god, I'm a god, you're a god, you know, like Shirley MacLaine standing on a beach saying, I am God.
Right.
Well, they have no problem with that.
That's a very good point.
They're just like the New Age Jesus is just kind of a little G god or an ascended master, you know. Well, in the same way, the Mormon Jesus is a little G god.
Boy.
His spirit brother is Lucifer. Jesus and Lucifer are brothers.
That's true. Well, Bill, we're running out of time here, and boy, I'm going to have you on again for a whole hour. This is so fascinating. Folks, Bill Schneblin, great expert on Freemasonry, Mormonism, from a Christian perspective. His website, withoneaccord.org. Of course, in a few minutes, we're going to tell you how to get his video. We're offering the video over 2 full hours, Mormonism's Temple of Doom. You can also get the video on Bill's website, along with all of his books and items, and I think you will enjoy them. When I say enjoy, of course, some of the things you're just disgusted with these false religions, but the good thing is we have the truth presented by Bill Schneblin. Bill, thanks again for being our guest here on Power Prophecy.
Yes, it's my pleasure. God bless.
God bless you, my friend. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, we move from the Mormon Church to the Tea Party movement. You know, I've got a friend who wrote to me recently, said, Tex, why are you opposed to the Tea Party movement? Well, actually, I'm not opposed to it at all. I appreciate the dedication, the sincerity of the Tea Party folks, but I'm afraid that their punch is just sort of lost. Their energy is being dissipated. It's really dissolved. They've really been preempted by the establishment Republican Party. And I sort of hate that. Now, I know there's a lot of individual Tea Party members in smaller groups around the United States. They're doing good things. But one of the things you have to understand is the most urgent concerns facing us today, Tea Parties have no idea. They don't even have a clue. Now, maybe some individual members do, but not the Tea Party leadership itself. For example, the incredible attack on America by illegal immigrants. Flowing in from our southern border there with Mexico, but even from, I mean, everything from Pakistan to Indonesia to China, immigrants, illegals just pouring in. And it seems like the Tea Party is mute on this issue. Not that every Tea Party is, a person is, but basically the media gives you the impression that Tea Parties are only interested in cutting the budget. And then they're not interested in cutting the billions wasted on our military in order to steal oil from Arabs and to massacre Muslims on behalf of a greater Israel. The Tea Party seems to be warmongers, love to kill and have war. Now, the military effort in the Middle East now, we've already spent $4 trillion. Do you realize that we would not have a budget problem today if it weren't for the wars in the Middle East? Unnecessary wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen. Did I say Afghanistan? There's so many countries over there. The stands of the world, so to speak. And folks, $4 trillion we've spent already. I was listening to an expert the other day that calculated that since Israel was founded as a nation, America has given Israel and foreign aid, which has never been paid back, $5 trillion. Stick that together with the $4 trillion for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. You got $9 trillion. The whole U.S. budget for an entire year is only $3 trillion. I say only, it's a lot. But my point is, the only reason we have a deficit is because American forces are in 130 nations across the world because we're fighting wars simultaneously in Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, etc. Bring all our troops home, put them on the border. You kill two birds with one stone. You stop illegal immigration. You give the troops a chance to do something productive for America rather than killing foreigners for no good reason. You save trillions of dollars, and then guess what? Social Security doesn't have to be stripped. Medicare doesn't have to be cut back. You can actually increase Medicare payments. You, with the money we've spent on these worthless wars to get rid of Saddam Hussein and the supposed Taliban and Al-Qaeda, with all of that money, my friends, listen, you could have doubled everybody's Social Security payments. Instead, the last 2 years, did you know that Social Security recipients, some of these oldsters eating dog food, I'm sure, because they can't afford to go to their food store and eat decently. They have to eat dog food. I'm not kidding you. And did you know they have not got a cost of living increase in 2 years through Social Security? Some of these people are getting like $400, $500 a month from Social Security to live on. And then for 2 years, they lied to him and said, well, you know, we didn't have any cost of living increase this year, so we're not going to increase you. 1%, 2%, 3%, nothing. These lying dogs in the government claim we have not had any price increases in staples. Well, a study found out, my friends, that this year, Memorial Day, if you had a barbecue in your backyard, the ingredients, the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the charcoal briquettes and all that, would have cost you 29% more than they did just 1 year ago. 29% increase in food cost in 1 year. And yet Social Security, they say, we're not going to give you one penny increase because the cost of living has not gone up in the past 2 years. Lying jackals, killing people, spending trillions of our taxpayer dollars on unnecessary wars. Meanwhile, robbing Social Security recipients, who, by the way, that's not welfare. They paid into Social Security. They deserve to get it. It's just Tex Mars. But you Tea Party people, you need to know what you're fighting for and what you're fighting against. Or don't expect me to go support you. If you're the one that's going to end up getting Social Security cut when it ought to be increased, when you're the one getting us into all these wars because you're for a George Bushite and an Obama supporter. So don't tell me you're going to be a Tea Party person. You're no George Washington, Patrick Henry type. No way. We'll be right back. More secrets, maybe more criticisms. I don't know. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. We're going to be right back after this. Okay, Tex Mars back again. You know, we had our guest in a while ago, Bill Schneblin. He was telling us about Mormonism, about Mitt Romney, Glenn Beck, and so forth, what the Mormons really believe in. Well, we have a video here for you. It's over 2 hours. It's DVD format, DVD. It's entitled Mormonism's Temple of Doom. Mormonism's Temple of Doom. Great video. Bill Schneblin will introduce you to what Mormonism really is. And he takes you to the Salt Lake City, Utah, Temple of the Mormons. And this huge Gothic cathedral. But you will see all the symbols of Satanism and of Freemasonry and the occult world there at the Temple of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In other words, the Mormons. What does Mormonism have to do with the pentagram star of the Church of Satan? What has it got to do with all of these ancient mystery religion symbols? Well, plenty. Because, as you know, Bill Shablin told you a while ago that this is the Church of the Serpent. The Church of the Serpent. I know Mitt Romney's a nice, handsome guy. And I know Glenn Beck is a cuddly little, I don't know, panda bear. Sure they are. Watch out, friends. They can bite if truly they are a Mormon. Did you know that Salt Lake City is one of the crime capitals of the United States? Most people think they just all they have there are a bunch of white people who are into love and goodness and large families and pro-life. Well, you check the crime statistics of the FBI, you'll find out that there are more rapes and murders in Salt Lake City than virtually any city in America. There's only a few cities that surpass them. Even the divorce rate is higher in Salt Lake City. Everybody thinks that, oh, it's just mom and apple pie among the Mormon church following. No, 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 no. They are satanic in their doctrines. And folks, you cannot lead a good, clean, virtuous life being a member of a satanic church. The outside world, it looks good. The veneer is there. They've painted over all the sinister, notorious things that the church stands for. But the heart is black, is darkened. And you'll find out why when you order this video by Bill Schneblin, Mormonism's Temple of Doom. And you'll also know a little bit about Glenn Beck and Mitt Romney because he talks about them here. Over 2 hours long, please, for your love gift of $28 to the ministry, $28, please add $5 shipping and handling. $28 plus $5 shipping and handling. Okay? Total of $33. As for the video, Mormonism's Temple of Doom. Okay? Mormonism's Temple of Doom. Here's how to get it. You can phone us toll free during the workday, Monday through Friday, 1-800-234-9673. If you're overseas, you'll have to call us on our regular phone line. That's area code 512-263-9780. Also, we're available on the internet at powerofprophecy.com. You can order this video, picture of it, in fact, an ad for it right there on our homepage, powerofprophecy.com. You can also get it by simply writing to us, sending your check or money order for $33. Ask for the video, Mormonism's Temple of Doom, and send that to Power of Prophecy or text Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. I mentioned love gift. Of course, this is really a payment. And, you know, we're not a 501c3 organization. We don't intend to get 501c3 organization status because, well, the government then says you have to support public policy. That's right. Now, a lot of churches are preaching against abortion and homosexuality and things. But at any time, the IRS could come down and audit them and punish them. Oh, I've had my little discussions with the IRS, believe me, and they've told me I cannot expose the Mormon church. I cannot expose Hinduism. I cannot expose Judaism and other false religions. The IRS has told this ministry that if we're a nonprofit group, a 501c3 tax-exempt status organization, we must support the government in all our doctrines and policies. Well, you know, the old what the children say, you know, go fly a kite. That's what we told them. Now, I know some churches don't do those things, and they seem to get away with it, but they could be plugged up at any time and taken over by the government. They'll take you over. They'll take away your tax-exempt status and then finally take your church or your ministry away from you. they'll say, well, you got a big tax benefit. Mm-hmm. You really don't belong to the people that listen to you or to the owners. You belong to the government. We're the ones that gave you this big tax benefit. We have the right to shut you down. Well, they don't have the right to shut down Texmore and Power Prophecy. We pay our taxes. We do our tax returns like anyone else. That may be true. We're non-profit. That's just, we don't make a profit here. We haven't been making a profit, but that's okay. At least we don't have to do what the old government tells us to do. You might want to ask your pastor or these other ministers or leaders of organizations why they are 501c3 IRS government approved. Yeah, ask them why they are still in the system, why they have to do it. I think they just want to bow down to Baal, and that's very sad. Okay, let's return to our regular program. We have a collection of secrets today. We're talking about the Tea Party. Again, I love the Tea Party, folks. I really do. My sister is a member of a Tea Party group in Beaumont, Texas. One of the things, though, that concerns me is it doesn't seem like the Tea Parties are very much worried about the corporate outsourcing of American jobs. I mean, the truth is, between welfare and government jobs, there are not many jobs left in America. Every corporation, I understand Michael Dell has closed its last big factory, manufacturing plant, moved it to Red China. Everyone's moving to Mexico, Red China, Indonesia, India. I think the Tea Parties ought to get on that. I mean, what we're seeing is the shares in the stock market of these giant Wall Street and corporate firms keeps going up, up, up. Their Wall Street, their profits are increasing. But the American worker is getting the royal shaft, folks. It's just true. It's sad. Well, we move from the Tea Party and jobs and the tidal wave of immigration that's been going on back to post-World War II and the Nuremberg War Crimes Trials. You know, I just had always assumed when I was a young man that America did the right thing when we put those Germans on trial, those Nazis. Well, if the government said they were guilty of all those things, gas chambers and crematories and horrible torture of the Jews and others and those concentration camps, well, of course they must have done it. Why, our government wouldn't lie to us, would it? Well, I'm afraid we found out that it would. You know, one of the things that some of the Germans died for, they were found guilty of at the Nuremberg trials, was a massacre that occurred in the Katyn Forest in Poland. You see, it was reported after World War II, and they had all these witnesses come out, that these German soldiers and officers, after they had conquered Poland, they gathered up tens of thousands. I think it was like 40,000 in all. I can't remember the exact number. You can read about it in Wikipedia or in your encyclopedias. But what you will find reported there is that the Germans supposedly rounded up almost the entire officer corps, plus many enlisted people, of the Polish military. They had disarmed them, but instead of making them POWs, they marched them into the forest and executed all of them with a bullet to the back of the head. And there they had dug huge holes with their bulldozers and equipment and just massacred all these poor unarmed soldiers of the nation of Poland. That's what we were told at Nuremberg. And eyewitnesses saw every bit of it. All those horrible things those Nazis did. Eyewitnesses. But unfortunately, eyewitnesses often lie. They do. They lie. And nowhere near do we have as many lies as have been told about Hitler and the German military. In fact, now that the Iron Curtain of the Soviet Union has fallen, now we have access to all the records. Guess who murdered all of those Polish officers in the Katyn Forest? The Soviet Union. It was the Soviet Union. See, our history books say that the Nazis invaded Poland in 1939, and that precipitated World War II. When they did that, it was a trigger, and suddenly the war in Europe was on. When the German soldiers invaded in Poland in 1939, then immediately France and Britain declared war against Germany. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. Did you know that Hitler and Stalin had signed a pact, a friendship pact? And in fact, when Hitler attacked Poland from Germany, from the West, on the other side of Poland, the Soviet Union's troops under Stalin's command, they attacked. So poor country of Poland was caught in a vise between the attacking Russians and the Soviet Corps troops on one side and the Nazis and the Germans on the other. They were caught in a vise. The agreement, the friendship pact between Molotov, the foreign minister of the Soviet Union, and Ribbentrop, the foreign minister, same as our Secretary of State in America for Germany, the agreement was that they would divide Poland between themselves. Russia would take East Poland, Germany would take West Poland, and that's what happened. Well, it just so happens that all of these officers that were massacred by the communist army of Stalin. Of course, almost all of the commanding officers of the Soviet army were Jews, and they were the ones that killed the Polish army officers. Why? Because almost all the Polish army officers were Christians. Communist Jews of Stalin's army massacred the Polish Jews at Katyn Forest. And yet our history books from 1945 to really, you know, 20 years ago, and things began to change. In any case, there's a recent story in the London Daily Mail, one of the top newspapers in London, the London Daily Mail of November the 27th, 2010, carried a report. The Duma, which is the parliament, the legislature of Russia, feeling a fit of conscience, put out a special report. Now imagine a legislative, like a congressional report, admitting that the Katyn Forest massacre of Polish officers were carried out on the direct order of Joseph Stalin and other Soviet Union leaders. Now I want to ask you a question, friends. United States judges participating in the Nuremberg trials condemned German officers to death for this atrocity, which they did not commit. What a miscarriage of justice that was. I remember the commandant of the Auschwitz camp was accused of killing 6 million Jews. Well, the claim is 6 million were killed total in all the camps. But they wanted him to get up and testify in open court at Nuremberg that he killed 6 million in Auschwitz alone. But the commandant said, but we didn't kill all those Jews. And they tortured him and tortured him and tortured him in his cell. Till finally he said, stop torturing me. I'll admit to anything. I'll admit to 12 million, 20 million, whatever number you want me to say I kill, I'll admit to it. You know, they took his statement that he killed millions of Jews, but they did not allow him to testify on the witness stand because he may have named a number that was too large. He may have blurted out that he killed 10 million, 20 million, anything to please them. Reminds you of 1984 when Winston Smith held up fingers. And his tormentor, his torturer said, a big brother said, Winston, it was O'Brien that held up the fingers. How many fingers am I holding up? And he was holding up two. Winston said, two. You're holding up two. They had attached a electric shock machine to the body of Winston Smith. And indeed, O'Brien was holding up two fingers. But when Winston said, you're holding up two fingers, he got a shock. And O'Brien said, tell us the truth. Then he held up three fingers. How many fingers am I holding up, Winston? Winston, tortured by the electric shock, looked and said, three, you're holding up three. The shock came again to him. O'Brien said, you're going to have to tell the truth. How many fingers am I now holding up? And he was holding up four. And Winston said, two, three, four, whatever number you want me to say, just tell me and I'll tell you the number that you're holding up. For God's sake, tell me what to say so I won't get shocked. In this day and age, dear friends, when George W. Bush and, yes, members of the Tea Party and all of these Bushies out there of the Republican Party and now Obama and all the Democrats seem to all be for torture. Friends, you waterboard an Arab that you've had imprisoned in a tiny cell for years on end, and after giving him 153 waterboarding sessions, he'll tell you anything. He'll admit to 9/11. He'll probably admit that in 1863, he massacred half the Indians in North Dakota. And while Mother Teresa was alive, he raped her 28 times. He'll say anything that you want him to say. Just stop the torture. Isn't it disgusting what America has become? You know what we've become? We've become Israel. Because since 1948, when they were founded as a nation, the Israeli Defense Forces have tormented, tortured, and yes, murdered untold thousands of Palestinians, young, old, women alike, in their prisons, have been tortured by the Israelis. And now we're following the path of the Israeli monsters right here in America. So remember this, my friends, when you read an old encyclopedia and it says that there was a Katyn Forest massacre of thousands of Polish officers by the Nazis, it wasn't true. It never was true. It was a lie. You know, my good friend Ernest Zundel is out of prison now, but they won't let him leave Germany. He was in prison for years simply for telling the truth about he questioned how many were killed in the so-called Holocaust. If you want to know who runs society, Richard Hoskins says in his newest Hoskins report. By the way, I get many newsletters from different folks. One of that I get that I enjoy is called the Hoskins Report. I don't always agree everything with Richard Kelly Hoskins, who's the editor of it, but he writes a lot of truth and a lot of great insights. But he says this about rulers of a nation. He says, if you want to know who really runs society, look for the people you cannot criticize. Who is it in America that you cannot say anything negative about? You know there's only one group. He said, if you need further proof, look at the hoax you cannot challenge. There is a hoax called the Holocaust. You can't challenge it. If you do, they'll put you in prison in many nations. And even in America, you'll be fringed, isolated. Interesting. Hey, Texas has found more oil, as if they didn't have enough down here in the Lone Star State. It seems that they've got what they call the shale oil boom. And boy, there's an influx of oil-filled workers. Thousands and thousands are piling into, well, there's really been a lack of housing and hotels down here in South Texas. And it's growing because they found more oil that they didn't even know about before. And they found more oil up in North, South Dakota, and Montana. And the Gulf of Mexico is just brimming with oil. Now the experts are finally admitting that the United States has more oil reserves in the ground than any other nation on earth. If we drill for this oil, friends, if we brought this oil out of the ground, do you realize how many millions of jobs would be created? First of all, there's all the oil workers, all the oil field people. Then there's all the restaurants and clothing stores and electrical, you know, plant workers and gas stations and automotive companies that sell stuff to them, apparel shops and so forth. If we just said no more buying of oil from overseas and just began to produce all this oil that we have, that we've been hiding in the ground right here in the United States, we would be the we would again be the richest country on earth. But our wealth, our national wealth, would double, triple, quadruple. Think about it. There's more oil in the Bakken oil formation underground in North and South Dakota and Montana than there is in the entire Middle East. We would be not only rich with oil in America, we could almost give gasoline away to the citizens. And we would be selling it to other countries around the world. Instead, we're buying it from Saudi Arabia and Libya, and, you know, the West is buying oil. Japan buys oil from Iran, Iraq. It's crazy. And oil's $100 a barrel. And Goldman Sachs, the largest bank in the world and a big oil speculator, says oil will be selling for $120 very soon a barrel, and that by July the 4th holiday, you and I will be paying $5 a gallon. And Goldman Sachs is thrilled to death about it. They're the ones that drove gasoline or oil up to $147 a barrel when in 2008. Folks, get a grip here on this. Our presidents, our country, our Congress does not want us to be a rich nation again. We've got all the oil. We're the greatest oil nation on earth. Now, I don't know when they're going to close this down, but they're not going to allow this to go on down here in South Texas. I understand the Bakken oil formation, the big oil companies, Conoco, Chevron, ExxonMobil, won't even touch it. They're just a bunch of independents up there. Now, this big shale oil boom down in South Texas is going on, but I understand the big oil companies won't touch it, only the independents. They know the government's going to shut them down pretty quick. They're going to send in the environmentalists, a swarm, a beehive of environmentalists, from the EPA are going to be sent in and find thousands of violations. Shut this oil rig down. Shut that oil rig down. Shut that one down. Oh, they're going to find them. Already I'm reading environmental magazines, and they're saying, ooh, they're fracking these wells. It's going to harm our water. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. Shut them down. And they will. Obama will find every reason to shut them all down. Here's why. The Jews of Israel want us to get our oil from the Middle East and be dependent on the Middle East oil. Why? It keeps our soldiers over there. You think about that. That's why we're over there. That's why we're fighting wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and so forth. Oil, oil, oil for Israel. If there was no oil to get, we wouldn't be over there. Of course, that would mean trillions of more dollars we could save, wouldn't it? Can you imagine? No more big tankers bringing oil and gasoline to America? Us having our own oil, our own refineries? Wouldn't that be grand? That's the way it used to be. And it can be again. Hey, here's something interesting. A Jewish source, the Jewish Journal of Greater Los Angeles, had an article recently. It was written by Phil Shulman, a Jew. Listen to this. I'm going to read right out to you. Only some 3,000 out of 1.4 million active servicemen and women in the U.S. Armed Forces are Jews. Only 3,000 out of 1.4 million are Jews. That's about 0.2%. When it comes to Marines, Shulman writes, the numbers are even more startling. It's 1 out of 1,000, 0.1%. Jews have never served in the U.S. Armed Forces, according to their proportion in the population. Why don't Jews serve in the U.S. Armed Forces? Well, ask Rahm Emanuel. He served in the Armed Forces, former White House Chief of Staff and Jew. But he served in the Armed Forces of Israel, not America. They have no love. They have no patriotism. The Protocols of Zion says they are not Americans, they are not British. Whatever country they were born and live in, they're not residents of, they're maybe residents, excuse me, but they're not citizens. They're Jews. They're citizens of Israel. Strauss-Kahn, the sexual deviant who was head of the International Monetary Fund, the Frenchman, who's now awaiting his trial in New York for raping that black woman who was a motel maid. Some of you probably didn't know she was African. She's a black woman. He raped her. He once bragged in a Paris newspaper. He said, every morning when I get up, the first thing I ask myself is, what can I do today for Israel? But he's a Frenchman. Jonathan Pollard sits in a jail cell in America. One of the most harmful spies in the history of America gave thousands of secret and top secret documents to Israel. And Israel turned around and gave them to our enemy, Red China, the communist Red China. All of America's military secrets revealed to the Red Chinese through the Israeli Mossad spy agency by Jonathan Pollard, who worked at the Defense Department. How did he get his job? Well, he was an American. Anybody can get a job, work their way up at the Pentagon, can't they? He was born in Galveston, Texas, but Jonathan Pollard never considered himself an American. He was a Jew. Friends, we have congressmen like Eric Cantor, who's one of the top Republican congressmen in Washington, D.C., Senator Charles Schumer of New York. They should not be there. Let them go in the Knesset, the Parliament of Israel, but not in our place. They're pro-Israel. All they're doing is pushing Israel. Every day, no doubt, so Senator Schumer and Congressman Cantor wake up, look in the mirror and say, what can I do for Israel today? What can I do to shaft America today? That's what I think they do. The Pope shuts down an irregular monastery. Man, evidently there was the Santa Croce in Jerusalem church, a famous monastery in Rome. But according to the Italian media, it's been shut down by Pope Benedict XVI. Why? Well, the Vatican said there were a certain lack of liturgical, financial, and moral discipline. The Cistercian monks were having their problems. It seemed that the basilica's abbot or leader was a flamboyant former Milan fashion designer. And one of the chief nuns was Sister Nobili. And they began to invite celebrities from the entertainment world and the music world and politicians to their monastery, not to pray, not to worship, but to watch Sister Nobili's freedom dance. You see, Sister Nobili was a former lap dancer at a strip joint. But they enticed her to become a nun. So she became the dancing nun, former lap dancer. Boy, that sure transformed the church, they say. They held regular concerts. They had televised sessions. They regularly attracted celebrity visitors from all over the world. And Sister Nobili did her famous dances. Well, it got so infamous that finally the Pope was forced to shut it down. Would you like to know what I think happened, really? The place was for heterosexuals. If it had been for homosexual priests, well, it'd probably still be around today. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to some secrets and some interesting information right here on Power of Prophecy. Oh, I wish I had more. I could tell you about Jack LaLanne, the famous guy from California that was on TV programs and all that. Fitness guy. Just fabulous what he could do. Turns out he was gay. Used to do nude pictures. Jack LaLanne was a gay man. And there are nude pictures all over the gay world of him totally naked. And he was also a Freemason. You know, I think naked homosexual men and Freemasonry seem to go together. Well, until next time, friends, this is Tex Mars inviting you to tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.